step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hi everybody and welcome to The United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge and this is your latest Manchester United transfer news as we receive an Edison setback. Or do we? Are we about to do this deal or aren't we? We'll delve into the truth. Two decent sources from Italy giving two very different updates. Also, Tchouaméni looking unlikely. We'll talk about that. And don't forget to remind me later in the show to talk to you about Morgan Rogers, Lewis Hall and Alex Scott, because I was meant to give the updates on them last night and we simply ran out of time. That wire is getting on my absolute tits. Move over there. OCD. Lots to get into on the show this morning. Also updates on Diamande, midfield targets and Wilcox and a little bit around Maguire as well. But look, we're going to start off talking about Edison and what is going on with him, because look, there is an update this morning around Edison about how Man United are closing the deal from Matte Meretto, who works with Fabrizio Romano. So on the one hand, this Edison deal is getting very, very close. On the other hand, Murtagh madness continuing at Atalanta. Yes, apologies last night. Robert McCormack with our first super chat of the morning is absolutely spot on. Murtagh is actually sporting director at Atalanta. Yeah, does it make you feel better about the Edison deal? I don't know. But look, this is what Fabrizio said last night, which made it feel like we were drifting away from an Edison deal. But there's two parts to this story. So on his YouTube channel last night, Fabrizio Romano said, while Edison is in Man United's shortlist, a deal isn't imminent or close. United are on a mission in Italy to hold discussions regarding multiple players. Emissaries have been on a mission in Italy for several transfer topics, exits and incoming. Talks advanced also for Edison, agreement close, but still waiting for United decision on whether they want to proceed and close the deal. Edison is putting himself on the market. Man United are considering several options in the midfield. Not only him, it's a discussion. Why is there so many rumours coming out of Italy? Is because United have been on a mission in Italy to have conversations on different players. Edison was just one conversation. It's more than three players. So advanced talks, agreement could happen, but Man United are deciding whether to proceed or not. Look, I'm not running a poll on it because 54% of you wanted to do the deal yesterday and I don't know why that would have changed. I think that the interesting thing is that, you know, what are we doing in Italy? Who else are we looking at in Italy? You know, Tonali's agent is probably Italian, I would hope. That might be something to do with it. Xerxes going back to Italy makes sense. Rasmus to Napoli's already done. Look, I've got to be honest, I love Italian football, you know, Italia 90, Pavarotti, Channel 4, Gazza, all that lot's great, but I don't know that it's a great league to be recruiting from. The Bundesliga, I understand. La Liga, to a certain extent, I understand. Serie A, I mean, we've not had a great hit record there. Rasmus, Xerxes, you know, it's not gone that well recently, and it's not a league. I was watching somebody was sending me clips of Edison last night and I felt like I needed to put it on, you know, on YouTube, you can put it. I mean, I know people who watch this show on 1.5, you know, you can speed the show up, which is, you know, if you want to cut down on a half an hour show to get it to 20 minutes, you can do it on speed 1.5. I was watching Edison's highlights on 1.5 just to speed it up a bit because it is factually slow. So I think, look, Romano's update is really interesting in the sense that It's like we are having talks and a deal. You know what it is like? It's like walking into your supermarket this afternoon. The weather's good, yeah? You walk down the aisle and they've got some specials on hot dog baps and hot dogs, right? And you go, wasn't thinking about hot dogs, but that's a good offer. Put it in the basket. We can always put it on a different aisle. I hate people who do that, but people do it. And then you walk into the next aisle and they've got like chicken and beef burgers and loads of better stuff. And you just go, get rid of the hot dogs. I think we might be, in fact, I think we are securing deals and then taking a pick. United seem to like to have players that have decided they want to come to Man United. So Belaba, Cunha, Mbeumo, they all wanted to come to Man United last summer. Belaba still wants to come this summer. So I feel like we might be lining up deals that we know we can do if we don't get deals done that we want to do, Anderson, Tonali, etc. But then there is another update this morning, which is very interesting, coming in from Matte Moretto, who works with Fabrizio Romano. They have an Italian YouTube channel. He was on it this morning. And he has said in the last hour, Edison is on his way to Man United. The two clubs have reached a verbal agreement and the player has already reached an agreement on his contract. The final details regarding the transfers remain to be finalised. Further discussions will take place in the coming days to reach a final conclusion. It's not closed. Tuesday and Wednesday to close the deal. 50 million euros is mentioned, although there'll probably be some manoeuvrability on wages and commissions. Also, Tonali is still a player of interest. So, you know, on the one hand, you think we're not signing Edison. And on the other hand, we're signing Edison for 50 million euros on Tuesday or Wednesday. I think it's a difficult one, isn't it? Because I'm bringing the news. We're reacting to that news. But I feel like it's just going to be one of those. It's going to split the fan base, isn't it? You know, it will be. And I think that, you know, I sort of look at Edison, who's 27, and we're going to pay about £40 million for him. And I think Bruno Guimarães at Newcastle, who's 28, is probably going to be around £60 million. And I just think, you know, Bruno Guimarães starts for Brazil, is Premier League proven. Edison doesn't get in the Brazil squad, can't get in the Brazil squad, has never played in the Premier League. And it feels a little bit like signing Belaba instead of Anderson. You know, you're quite close to the price you don't want to pay. You're stupidly close to the price you don't want to pay for a player that's not as good as the player that's a little bit more expensive. Like, Bruno Guimarães will cost £20 million more than Edison. And he is 18 months older. But he's better. You know, Elliot Anderson and Tonali will cost you about £20 to £30 million more than Belaba. But they're better. And it feels like we might just do those types of deals. And also, look, I think in relation to Edison, you know, I have to be balanced on this because it's a player that I've liked for a few years. I mean, this is not a Wilcox or Rinios signing. He has been scouted by United for many years. So if this goes wrong, who gets the blame? I think this is an easy signing for Wilcox because he knows that we have been scouting him for a long time. And if it goes wrong, he can say, well, it wasn't me, but it is him because he signs it off. But I think, look, looking at the people that have a problem with this deal, you do have to realise that if Edison leads to Tonali, it's fine. If Edison leads to Anderson, it's fine. If Edison leads to Belaba and somebody else who's not that good, it's not a very good summer transfer window. So it just depends on what piece Edison is. And if he's the third midfielder, it might be okay. Having said that, we can't... Where I do have an issue is we can't just go, well, it's the third midfielder, it doesn't matter. I do agree with people like Beth to a certain extent that, you know, just because it's the third midfielder doesn't mean we can just go, oh, it's fine, let's take a big, massive risk from Italy. You know, I'd like the third midfielder to be Scott. I'd like the second midfielder to be Stiller. And I'd like the first midfielder to be Anderson or Tonali. My third midfielder is Scott. He's better than Edison. So even though he might be the third midfielder, I still think there's way better options out there. Are we doing this because it's cheap? Yes. As I said last night, if he didn't have 1 year left on his contract and was £40 million, we wouldn't go with him. If he had 3 years left on his contract and was 60 million, we wouldn't do the deal. We're doing it because of price. And also, you've got to ask the question, does he genuinely improve the squad? is he definitely better than Ugarte? Because I've got people telling me he's definitely better than Ugarte. And I seem to recall 2 years ago going, Ugarte looks like a really good signing coming in from a foreign league. So I don't know whether it is a better deal than Ugarte. I don't know whether it is a big step up. I don't know that there is a massive difference in the two players. And obviously, he doesn't get picked for Brazil. You know, Ancelotti doesn't pick him for Brazil. He doesn't look at him. He doesn't look. I think he's had two caps in the Copa America last summer, and that's it. He's never gone near him again. I think, you know, there is a fair point to say that the club likes to take cheap risks. I think their club are protecting, you know, the budget. And, you know, it's, you know, it is a player that's going to come in with not a lot of optimism, is it? And, you know, I don't think there's necessarily a lot of optimism around Michael Carrick, and I don't think there's going to be a lot of optimism around Ederson. All I see, because I'm doing it myself, is us fans convincing ourselves that this might not work. That this might work. And as Malpa says, you know, we've got a great opportunity this summer to go and push on and sign top players, but they aren't going to do it. I don't know what we're doing in Italy. I do not know what we're doing in Italy thinking that's the place to go. I mean, Germany is the place that most Premier League clubs go now for players, not Italy. You know, Man City aren't looking in Italy. Arsenal aren't looking in Italy. Liverpool aren't looking in Italy. So what are we doing in Italy? It's not that league anymore. Hopefully it will be one day because Italian football is fantastic, but it's not that league anymore. So what we're doing in Italy, God knows. We probably think we're hip and Italy is the next big place, but it's not. They haven't qualified for a World Cup for, what, 10 years? Inter Milan are a decent side. That's about it. It's a strange place to be looking for players. But ultimately, look, I think there is a decent player there, but it ain't groundbreaking. And there's much better out there. And I think it comes down to price. I think, you know, at the end of the day, Garner's better than Ederson. Scott's better than Ederson. You could argue Jojo. Gomez is better than Ederson. Wharton's better than Ederson. You know, you can argue Belabor's better than Ederson, if I'm being honest. You could. And, you know, I don't want to make that argument, but you could. I think this comes down to price. And I think United, you know, I find it a strange deal. I don't mind the player, but I find it a strange deal. Did you see the Atalanta manager comments? Romano tweeted it, Rory. I did. And this is another good addition to the show. This came out last night. It was, let me just get it. It was something along the lines of, when was it? It came out like midnight last night, didn't it? Yeah, Atalanta manager. Ederson didn't play today because there's a concrete negotiation with a top club. And John Murta is their sporting director. So, look, I don't even know how to comment on that one, to be honest. I don't really know what to say. Not easy to convince a centre midfielder. Sorry, Robert, what did you say? Not easy to convince a centre midfielder to come in as fourth choice, says Robert McCormack. Yeah, but you know what, Robert? You're right, and we shouldn't be doing that anyway. I've said this for ages. This is where I can be absolutely. I've always said this. We shouldn't be buying bench players. This is the Goldbridge take, right? We shouldn't be buying bench players. You should never buy bench players. You shouldn't buy a bench player. You should buy a player and say to them, look, I've got my own ideas, but you're in the race. You come in and impress and you will play. You shouldn't buy a bench player. I mean, Ederson is definitively on that shelf where it says SJA, like that's where Ederson is. He ain't second tier and he ain't third. He isn't second and he isn't first. He's definitely going in where those trainers are. He's definitely going in as a bench player because he's cheap. And I like Ederson. I think he's an half-decent player with potential. I mean, can you say potential at 27? It seems a bit weird. But he is definitely a cheap bench player. Absolutely. King Oz says Ederson is not a bench player. Mate, I'm sorry. I'm all for opinions. And if you are right and he wins his place in the first team, fair play. But if you think he's a first team player for Man United, why is nobody else in for him? You know, if he's a starting player for a top three Premier League midfield, why has nobody else gone in for him apart from Atletico Madrid? But they weren't willing to pay 40 million. He's not a starter for Man United. He's not. Emily Derry says, once again, I have the feeling that the club is looking at the price and not the value. And it's not the first time I've thought this. But you know what, Emily? The price is wrong anyway. I mean, it's almost like maths for morons. Because £40 million isn't cheap for an Atalanta midfielder. It's not cheap. It's really not. I mean, I think I'm right in saying that Liverpool paid Brighton £40 million for Alexis McAllister. But £40 million for a 27-year-old Atalanta midfielder is not cheap. I don't think it is cheap. What do Atalanta value him at then? 70? 80? I mean, he is not a 70 or 80 million pound player. He's got 1 year left on his contract and we're going to pay £40 million. That's not cheap. That's being rinsed. I want people to remember this. He's got 1 year left on his deal. This is not good negotiation and it's not a good deal. 1 year left and we're paying £40 million. Now, I don't think it's a good. I don't think it's a good deal at all. I think £40 million is cheap, but it depends what the circumstances of the player is. VIR says, so we can overpay for Edison, who looks bang average, but we won't pay the fees for Anderson and Diamande. Arsenal and City both spent the fees for Rodri and Rice to compete for top honours. And you know what? I never hear anybody saying that Bayern Munich overpaid for Harry Kane when they bought what was probably a 30 or 29-year-old for 100 million. I don't hear people talking about Real Madrid spending too much money on Jude Bellingham, which was a lot of money. I hear people saying that Declan Rice was a flop either, and they spent £100 million on him. I don't hear people saying that Caicedo was a flop for Chelsea, and they spent £100 million on him. You know, United's fear of spending a lot of money is clearly because we don't have the right director of football. Because if you've got the right director of football and you buy the right players, they don't flop. You know, no one ever talks about Declan Rice being a flop. But United are shit scared of it. We won't spend £100 million because we don't want to spend it. And also we're scared of flopping. That's what happens when you have a decent director of football. Marlowe says, going for a player that we've chosen not to go for several times is lazy. So for 4 years, our scouts haven't found any better candidate. I think this is an interesting point as well, Marlowe. And I think Edison's a decent player. But if you think I'm sitting here and saying it's a good signing, you're sadly mistaken. And I'll tell you why I won't do it. I'm not in agreement with all these people on social media saying he's a bag of shit, it's a waste of time, this, that, and the other. I don't agree with that because I don't think he's a bag of shit. I think he's an interesting player. But if you think I'm sitting here and saying he's going to work at Man United, you'd have to be a complete and utter prat. He doesn't get in the Brazil squad. He's 27 this summer. He's overpriced with 1 year left on his contract. Nobody else wants him. Atletico Madrid pulled out of a deal in January. And we've been scouting him for at least 3 years. I mean, there are a lot of red flags there. The only person that could come and say, I've got more red flags than you, is Belaba. I mean, there are a lot of red flags with Edison. And Marlo makes a great point. We have been linked to this player for 3 years. Why for 3 years didn't we go and get him when he was 24 or 25 or 26? Price? Well, that's a rubbish reason. Price. Oh, we didn't buy a player we want because of price. Well, that lacks ambition. It is a bit strange. It is a bit strange, I admit. Are we in for Liao? Talks of a swap deal with Xerxes, says Jack. I mean, again, Fabrizio said, we're in Italy talking about a lot of different players. Liao terrifies me. Can't start for Portugal. Very inconsistent. In the Italian league, Liao absolutely terrifies me. He is not a player that makes me think he will do it well at Manchester United. Absolutely not. And let me just get rid of this idiot. He could come into United and be a superstar. But again, I think I'm right in saying that, I mean, it would almost be weird to go for Liao because I'm pretty sure he's 27 this summer as well. So it'd be another 27-year-old from the Italian league that's slower than the Bundesliga, La Liga and the Premier League, who's never played in the Premier League, who's 27. It would be really, really strange to go for him. But look, apparently we're looking at it. I mean, look, to be honest with you, I don't know what I'm more concerned about, signing Edison or Romano's update that we're on a mission in Italy. I mean, I think that one, unless somebody's excited or can tell me what that's all about, Fabrizio Romano is one of the top tier transfer journalists in the world. And he says that Man United are on in Italy on a transfer mission. It's the wrong country.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I've grown up with Italian football. I know a lot of Italians, and they would be saying, why are you here? I mean, that Italy is in a footballing crisis. They love football over there. They can't qualify for the World Cup. They're not doing well in Europe. They are in a footballing crisis, and Man United are out there on a mission trying to sign players. The only word I can think of is cheap. Yeah. Julian says United are in Italy for exits. No, it didn't say that, Julian. I mean, look, you might want to start your own YouTube channel up and tell lies. He didn't say that. What he said is that Man United are on a mission in Italy for exits and incomings. Didn't just say exits. So don't, you know, you should go and work for the Sun. Jungland, 40 million, Stiller, 40 million, and Fernandez, 60 million. VIR says, completely agree. Wilcox seems inept. The fans understand the ground reality of the team and have the ambition to compete. This reminds me of the summers under Ten Hag and Mourinho. Look, let's move on. But in relation to Ederson, I think some people just get excited about signings, and it's only May. So let them be excited. Some players come in with red flags, throw them on the floor and become fantastic. Look at Ander Herrera. Some people are flops. The point is, it feels like this deal could happen very, very quickly. I just think that there are a lot of concerns around this deal. And ultimately, it doesn't make a lot of sense to sign a 27-year-old for £40 million with 1 year left on his contract. He's expensive. He's never played in the Premier League. He can't get in the Brazilian squad. And we've been scouting him 3 years, and suddenly now he's a solution for Man United's midfield. But most important of all, it's got nothing to do with Ederson. I'd say the same if we went for somebody like Baleba or, a João Gomes. Michael Carrick, if people don't realise this, Michael Carrick is a learner driver in the most pressurised job in the world. You know, if you think about it, this is like getting a trainee Ryanair pilot to fly Air Force One. You know, this is, and I'm not taking the piss out of Ryanair or being a trainee pilot. I don't think there's many of you watching, but a trainee pilot for Ryanair now has to fly Air Force One with the President of America and everybody else in the back. That's what Carrick's doing. Yeah. The team around him, do you need a load of trainees or do you get experts? Michael Carrick needs experts around him. He might be the next Pep Guardiola. But if you give him a load of trainees and he's a trainee, it's not going to work. So overarchingly here, it's not about Ederson. It's not about Baleba. It's not about any other player that I don't want us to sign. It's about, if you're going to give the job to Michael Carrick, which is Wilcox's risk, you better go and buy him top quality players that can help him out. Don't go and buy him players that he needs to teach while he's learning the job himself. And that, to me, is the problem. We don't need a team of rookies. You know, exactly. Might make you smile. After the Atalanta games last night, Palladino said in a post-match interview that Ederson didn't play because he's in advanced talks with a top European club. But I think that says. The big question is, Ederson better than Jim Thwaites? I kind of feel like we're buying him for the sake of it, says Dave. It just feels like a cheap deal to fill a number, you know? That's what it feels like. There doesn't seem to be any thought out. I can't find anything about this Ederson deal that makes me go, that's been thought out well. It feels like we need three midfielders. We've looked at him for years. No one else wants him. He's really cheap. And it gets us a deal done quickly. It feels a bit desperate. if I'm being honest. But look, if we sign him, I'll back him. I think he's an interesting profile of player. But also, if he was 22, I'd be a lot happier about this deal. If he was 22 with the potential to get better and get in the Brazil squad and be here for years, I'd be much happier about this deal. He's 27. You can't call a 27-year-old potential. I must be going deaf, Mark, says Alicia. Did you say something half positive about Belaber? Have a great day. You too. Well, I don't actually know who's better, Belaber or Edison. Should we run a poll? I don't know, because look, I don't rate Belaber that much, but I don't know that Belaber, you know, I don't think he's shit. I just don't think he's the right player for Man United. What about, now this one's a good point, Casper. This was the only player I could think that Man United might be in Italy for. From Italy, at least go for Manu Kone or Locatelli. We were in talks with Manu Kone last summer of Roma. We got quite close to Manu Kone last summer from Roma. He is a very different profile of player to Edison. Very interesting. I have not heard anything about him since last October. So, you know, maybe we could be resurrecting that. Clearly, we haven't heard of quality, not quantity. We are just putting bums on seats, says Michael. Spreading a budget thin, disaster incoming, says Royal. Personally, I like Manu Kone, says Andrew, and Yildiz, but I agree, looking in Italy is such an awful idea. We have Champions League football, says I Got One TV. We need proven superstars, not squad players. City paid $35 million for Cherki. We are screwed. Well, Marlo, I, you know what? I hope you're right about that, because I've got no idea what City paid for Cherki. But if City paid $35 million for Cherki, and we're going to pay more than that for Edison, and Cherki's in his early 20s, I mean, it just shows you what a shit. This is what I mean. £40 million is cheap. It is. But it depends what you're paying for. £40 million for Tonali is bargain of the century. £40 million for a 27-year-old who's never played in the Premier League and has 1 year left on his contract at Atalanta is expensive. You know, it is. Let It Be Bastoni, says Phil. And I'd rather keep Anderson and Tchouaméni and keep Collier or gamble on the youth than Edison signing, says Jack. And Ian Chapman has gifted 5 memberships. You're a legend, sir. Thank you very much. OK, let's move on to a couple of other things I want to talk about as well this morning, because obviously we'll have to wait and see on that one. Just wanted to bring this in because I forgot about it last night and it is midfield relevant. Laurie Whitwell, Athletic, said that on Man United's other midfield targets, Alex Scott at Bournemouth is a name I've heard more recently, and his contract expires in 2 years. Fernandez at West Ham hasn't got a release clause. West Ham want an upgrade on the price they paid, which was about $38 million, and there's a 15% sell on to Southampton. So that's part of the factor West Ham would need to sell. So look, you know what? Almost a nice little segue away from the Edison story. You've got Alex Scott and Fernandez, who are playing very, very well in the Premier League at the moment, who are probably 4 or 5 years younger than Edison, who are going to be around the same sort of price. And that's what I mean. Like, you know, Alex Scott with 2 years on his contract at Bournemouth, $50 million top. Matias Fernandez at West Ham, $50 million tops, maybe 60. You're going to pay 40 for Edison at 27 with no Premier League experience. You've got Scott and Fernandez who are younger for about another 10, 15 million. I mean, it's just, that's the problem with it for me. Edison could be an absolutely brilliant signing, but there's so many better options. It's a strange one. It's a strange one for me from United. And it comes back to the same old issue, doesn't it? I think that whilst Manchester United have got Jason Wilcox in charge of our recruitment, I don't know that we're going to go anywhere. I hope I'm wrong, but I don't know that we are going to go anywhere. It is concerning. Elliot Anderson, a few people talking about Elliot Anderson this morning. Look, the general feeling is I still hope that we can get that deal done. I think I'm the only person in the world who thinks that Elliot Anderson could sign for Man United, and I'm not going to change my mind until he's holding up a Man City shirt. But what I would say about Elliot Anderson, and I have to acknowledge, is that it's very, very clear to me that Man City are winning the race. You cannot ignore it. You know, Manchester United are definitely not winning that race. What I would say is, and I'll leave it here, and you can give your thoughts, is if Man City are winning the race for Elliot Anderson, can somebody just tell me why they're winning the race for Elliot Anderson? That's all I want to know. Why are they winning the race for Elliot Anderson? Because we're shit. Because we've got crap negotiators. Because we're cheap. Because we won't spend what's required. I agree with Tom McBride. We can definitely get Anderson. And this is the drum I'm going to bang. And I think a lot of people want to bang it with me. Man City are winning the race. Fine. Why are they winning the race? Because they've got Pep Guardiola. No, you haven't. Because you've won the league. No, you haven't. Because you've got a better chance of winning the league next year than us. Debatable. Now more than ever, that's more of a conversation. Because Pep's gone and Arsenal have just won the league and we could spend well. Because you've got Champions League football, so do we. Because your future's brighter than ours, not necessarily. Pep's gone, there's a court case. So everything that might makes people think, oh, Man City are better than Man United, you could almost argue, well, no. The only reason I think Man City are winning the race is the wages and the transfer fee. Well, that's not acceptable. And I'm not going to accept that. I'm not going to sit here and say that's fine. I don't think it's fine at all. What's happening to Favel's German connection, says Marlo. Ian Chapman, welcome to Members Club. Thank you very much. Look, been very fortunate on That's Football to have the Bundesliga highlights and matches this season. And I've watched the Bundesliga a lot this year. And I can tell you a few players that United should go for. But what I will say is that when we got the Bundesliga TV rights, one of the things that was said to me is there's more goals in the Bundesliga and it's the closest league in the world to the Premier League for intensity and speed. It's actually quicker than the Premier League now because we have slowed down in the Premier League in relation to long throw-in, stop-start. So Bundesliga, if you watch a Bundesliga game, it's actually quicker because they don't piss around with long throw-ins and line on the floor. It's quick. So the Bundesliga and probably La Liga are the two leagues closest to the Premier League in intensity. Serie A is not. It's been slow for years. It's a slow league. So if we're looking at players, we should be looking in the Bundesliga. The interesting thing about the Bundesliga as well is that Favel's got a really good background in the Bundesliga. And the other interesting thing about the Bundesliga is it's as cheap as the Italian league. You know, it's not really that expensive. There'll be one or two players that you end up paying silly money for, like Wirtz and maybe Diamande. But there's a lot of talent in that Bundesliga that you can get out of there. And like Almada might be going to Brighton. I think we should be looking at him from Cologne. Nusa at Leipzig. I think we should be looking at him on the left wing. I think he's perfect for what we need. We're not even bloody linked to him. What are we going to do about the left wing, by the way? So Stiller is a player we've mentioned for a long time. There are good players that we can get there. But again, I don't know why we're not looking there at the moment and why we're on a mission in Italy. Angling for More says, let's get Archie Gray when Spurs go down tomorrow. Let's get Vuskovic. Solid Blake, thanks for being a member for so long. You're a legend. Nusa from Leipzig is our left wing, in my opinion. Phil Bill, get on it, says Captain. Well, as I said last night, it looks like Diamande is going to Liverpool. Liverpool are in advanced talks with him already, according to David Ornstein. So, I don't think they're going to sell both their wingers, really. Mark says, I think we should get Tonali, Fernandes and Rodgers and keep hearing Fernandes is playing well. They are getting relegated. Stay clear. I've watched plenty of West Ham this season. He's very wasteful, says Tyrone. Remember, we did buy Roy Keane when they got relegated. So, you know, it doesn't just because they're getting relegated doesn't mean we shouldn't go with them. Keep hearing that, says Tyrone. Salah says, what if Wilcox told Belaba to play his best against United so the fans would want him and make him the number one target in the midfield? Well, let's hope Man United fans aren't that stupid, to be honest with you. And what actually worries me is Anderson signs for City, Tonali for £80 million goes to Arsenal. You're telling me Tonali for £80 million, other big clubs are not looking at him. Tchouaméni stays, we end up with Belaba, Fernandes and Edison. Arsene, I think that's something I mentioned last night, and it's something that we should be concerned about because Anderson could sign for City, Tonali could go to another club, and Tchouaméni could stay at Real Madrid, and then it's over. There is, you know, we're quite lucky that there's three players that we could go for to replace Casemiro. If we don't get any of them, I don't know what to say. Michael Carrick could still be successful, but it's not a successful recruitment drive, is it? Why do you want Anderson when he prefers City, says Dial? Well, we don't know that he prefers City, do we? We know that City are winning the race, but I suspect they're winning the race because they're willing to pay what Forest wants. I don't think Anderson has come out and said he wants to go to City. So, race for Anderson is over. We're being strung along by his agent to get another million in sign-on fee. All we've heard lately is United distancing themselves, says Goldfridge. Thank you very much for that. And the board lying to themselves, convinced that Belabor and Carrick are better than any other options. Bland chicken needs a lot more seasoning, says Spooky. Thank you very much for that. And done that one as well. There was another thing I just wanted to come back to here. Morgan Rogers. It's interesting, actually, because David Ornstein is basically saying that Liverpool are looking at 85 million for Diamande, and United don't want to pay that much. Fabrizio Romano literally said United do not want to pay that much for Diamande. And again, you've got to question that. You have to question that. And thankfully, we have communities like this where we can, because like you, I remember things. You know, I remember that we were chasing Edison 3 years ago, apparently. You know, I remember at Christmas, we went for Semenyu, we lost to Man City, and we instantly briefed that we wanted Diamande at Leipzig. Here we are with the chance to go and get Diamande at Leipzig, and we're saying we don't want to spend £85 million on him. Well, I'm sorry, he was always going to be 80 million. Always. You paid 67 for Sesko. They were always going to want 80 for Diamande, but you don't want to pay it. So why do you brief that you want players when you know you won't pay for them? Because you're playing the fans, aren't you? This is what you do. You put it out there that you want good players, knowing full fucking well that you won't pay it. Same with Anderson. All season, we want Anderson. He's number one priority. How many journalists have you seen write articles about Elliot Anderson being our number one priority over the last 9 months? Because it will be loads. But when it comes down to it, the reality is we don't want to pay. And the same thing happened with Diamande. Semenyu's disappointing, but we want Diamande. And then when it comes down to it, well, we don't want to pay for him. And this is a tactic that we use. And you know why they do it? Because they want to excite you and get you to buy kits and get you to buy season tickets. They lie, knowing full well they are not willing to pay the price to get these players in through the door. And it's a concern because it's going to keep happening because it happens all the time. And the amount of arguments that happen during the season about Elliot Anderson in this fan base, because some people believe we were going to go for him and then, you know, they've been lied to. Aston Villa are prepared to sell Morgan Rogers. This came in from Ben Jacobs. Those close to the player understand that no one is going to stand in his way for a move. So Morgan Rogers on the move this summer. The price will be around 80 million with Arsenal, Man United, Chelsea and PSG in the race. I think this is viable. I think this is realistic. And I think with this, it's another conversation point because Villa are clearly ready to cash in on Morgan Rogers, and Manchester United are clearly going to look at him because it's a statement signing, it's a shirt seller, and Michael Carrick really likes him. So I think that this is certainly one to keep an eye on. My only issue with this, again, and I'm a big fan of Morgan Rogers, and I think he's had a very good season, and I think he's going to have a big World Cup as well. I think he's an important player for England. Very, very good player. But, you know, in the World Cup, trying to think of a player. You know, in the World Cup, I don't know whether there is a player at Man United. We're not good enough for me to say this, but basically what I'm saying is, imagine we had Nuno Mendes at left back, right? And in the World Cup, there's a Brazilian left back who's really good and he wants to come to Man United and Man United want him. But we've still got the problems with midfield and maybe centre back. Why would you buy somebody when you've already got somebody in their position who's doing a good job? So Morgan Rogers, every time I like Morgan Rogers, it's because he plays centrally off the striker, centrally. You buy Morgan Rogers, it's the same as Kagawa, it's the same as Cunha, it's the same as Mata. it's the same as there are more. There's definitely more. I'm trying to think. Number 10s that we didn't play at number 10, basically. With Mkhitaryan, you buy Morgan Rogers for £80 million and you don't play him as a number 10, you've just wasted 30 million, 40, 50 million pounds. You've just bought somebody to put on the wing who's not a winger. He could do a job on the wing, but it's not really where he wants to play. So what are we saying to Morgan Rogers? Come to Man United, play on the wing for a year or two until Bruno decides to go, and then you can play at number 10. So basically, come to Man United, stunt your career for a couple of years in the hope that Bruno will actually leave. I can see us spending £80 million on Morgan Rogers, and I think he's a fantastic player. I just don't understand it. It's Mason Mount all over again. Why are we buying a number 10 to put them on the bench or play them out of position? It doesn't feel like a signing that's intelligent. It feels like we've signed Morgan Rogers, and I don't get it. And I like that player as well. I like Ederson. I just think it's a risk. I like Morgan Rogers. I think it's a bad fit. I don't want Belabor or Edison. I would rather have Sanderberg or Hinshelwood, says Bale Will Justice. And the board lying to themselves, convinced that Belabor and Carrick are better than any other options. I've done that one from Spooky. Okay, we're whizzing through the stuff this morning. Tchouaméni, a lot of people are asking about this. So basically, this came in from a Sky Sports News Man United reporter, Daniel Kahn, basically saying that if he becomes available, would Man United explore it? Of course they would. Do I think they're actively pursuing him right now? No. I do think it's a new contract type of story, and it's quite easy to link yourself to United and to work your position at Real Madrid a bit better. So I thought that was quite an interesting take because, I mean, look, it's Sky Sports News. It's a reporter. It could be an opinion piece. It didn't sound like it was particularly, sourced from the player or Real Madrid or Man United. But Tchouaméni has gone a little bit quiet. And you know what? It got me thinking about Tchouaméni. A lot of us really, really, really think it's essential that we get Anderson, Tonali or Tchouaméni, right? Tonali's gone very, very quiet. And United don't want to pay the price. And there's been lots of talk about the gambling. Ederson, favourite to go to Man City. Tchouaméni, what have we really heard? What have we really heard about him in the last 2 weeks? Nothing. There was a bit of hype about him about 3 weeks ago. But essentially, that hype has always been Real Madrid might want to buy two midfielders this summer. And if they do that, they might be willing to let him go. He doesn't want to go. He wants to stay in Madrid. If he does go, Man United might be interested. I mean, it's not like we're in Italy very close to signing Ederson, is it? It's like if Real Madrid decide they want to sell him, Man United would be interested. Well, he's getting on a plane to go to the States for 6 weeks in 2 weeks. Like, I don't people... 2 weeks on Thursday, the World Cup starts. So, Tchouaméni, for me, is just... My update is... Would be a very interesting signing to buy the replacement for Casemiro, who replaced him at Real Madrid. But he's flying out to the World Cup in 2 weeks. And he won't be back until the end of July. And there's nothing going on. And we like to do a deal over 6 weeks. So I feel like maybe it can happen, but it's nowhere near happening, is it? And I think as well, where I would just move on from the midfield, because I want to talk about some other things, is that where we are at the moment, I feel like we're almost, and I'm trying to think of an analogy here. We're almost like, remember that show Supermarket Sweep? You might not remember it. Basically, you had a supermarket trolley and you had 2 minutes to run around a supermarket and get as much as you can into your trolley. And then at the end, you take it to the checkout and three teams are doing it. And the one with the most value in their supermarket trolley win, yeah? And I feel like United are doing that at the moment. They're running around Tesco and they're chucking stuff in, but they don't know whether it's what they really want, and they don't really know whether they can afford it. and whether it's going to be enough. And I feel like there's not a definitive plan. I could have left that analogy out of it. I feel like there's not a definitive plan. I feel like Man City, even Liverpool, you know, Liverpool had a bad summer last summer, but they went and got what they wanted, really, didn't they? Apart from Gehi on the final day. Man City, they go and get what they want. Arsenal go and get what they want. I don't feel like we've got a defined plan. I don't feel like there is a plan. I don't feel like we've gone Tonali, Stiller, Alex Scott, or Anderson, Garner, and João Gomes. I mean, whatever the three is, I don't feel like we've got it in our head, because my three is going to be different to your three and it's going to be different to their three. I feel like United have gone, let's just chuck the net out into the ocean and see what we catch. Let's just throw a massive net into the sea, pull in and see what we've got, because we might catch an Anderson, but if we don't catch an Anderson, we'll get an Edison. It's nearly the same anyway. It's only a few letters. Edison, Anderson, you know, take the E out and put an in front of it. Basically the same thing. In fact, the fans might actually thank us, because if you put Anderson on the back of your shirt, that's actually an extra letter. There's more value in this. Edison is one letter less. It's there. So look, I feel like it's, I feel like we are just, I don't feel like we've got a plan. And that, from what I've been told for many years, and from what I've been told from people who work at the club, that's basically Man United. I mean, this Michael Carrick contract taking a week is a joke, but that's the way Man United work. I don't really want to say this because I think it causes a lot of people a lot of frustration, but we are shit at negotiating. Like, it's a fact. Like, we are shit at negotiating. It's not like, I still think there are people in our fan base that are still waiting for United to be good at it. We're shit at it because we're shit at it. Like, we're really bad. Like, we're really, really bad. And I think I gave up on this a long time ago, but I think some people think that we're sat in that boardroom with a definitive plan of, if we don't get Anderson, we'll swoop on Tonali, and if we don't get him, we've got Tchouaméni. I don't think that's going on at all. I think they're sat there going, well, we can't pay for Anderson and Tonali anyway, so let the fans think it's going to happen, but it's not. Tchouaméni is probably going to stay at Real Madrid, so let's just leave that one. What can we do with what's left out there? And I think that's what's going on. I don't think we have a defined plan of what we want. Look, hopefully, in the chaos, we'll land on three good players, but it won't be by design. It'll be by accident. I just don't get the feeling that we have a defined midfield three that we want. I don't even feel like we've got option one, two and three. I feel like it's just a bit chaotic, to be honest with you. I don't think... And the scary thing is, it's got nothing to do with Michael Carrick. We knew 12 months ago that we needed to rebuild our midfield. So remember, as we walk into this transfer window, this is 12 months in the making. It's not like Liverpool with Ekitike and Isak, you know, Ekitike is out till Christmas. They've got to go and find an attacker, and it's only happened to them in the last 2 months. We've had 12 months to prepare for this midfield rebuild. Do you feel like United are coming into this summer with 12 months preparation and they know what they're doing? And that's my point. I don't feel with 12 months preparation that they've got a bloody clue what they're doing in this summer. I don't. I hope I'm wrong. Which players are fans defending too much this season, says Salah. Look, my feeling is that...
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
Look, I wouldn't have given Harry Maguire a new contract. I wouldn't have Luke Shaw at the club next year. I think Dalot isn't good enough. Mason Mount is on way too much money. So there's four players there that I would be looking to move on. You know, you look at this season, Casemiro's gone now. World Cup year, he's gone. Final year of his contract, he's gone. Luke Shaw's played every single game in a World Cup year, but for the last 3 years, he hasn't managed it. What's going to happen next year? Dalot hasn't had a great season. You know what? I don't know whether I agree with this, but I saw somebody saying yesterday that, you know, when the trouble with some United players is when things are going well, it's all Instagram, it's all good. When things are going bad, the leaks start. And they were basically sort of linked, two plus two is five, basically. They were saying, look, Harry Maguire, really happy. He's doing interviews with Ian Wright and everybody else. And he's back in the England setup and he's back in the Man United team and he's got the contract, right? He gets left out of the England World Cup squad. Thomas Tuchel has a private chat with him, but he still does a big statement before the squad's out. Self-serving. Is that a glimpse of what the United fan base, United dressing room is like? I'm not saying Harry Maguire is a problem, but somebody close to Harry Maguire should have said, hold on a minute, Harry, you know, the squad's not even out and you're doing statements about being gutted and it's a disgrace and this, that and the other. Everyone knows you're disappointed and everyone knows it is disappointing. And I agree it's disappointing, but you can flip it around and go, it's also really self-serving and petulant to put a statement out before the England squad's even out. And I suppose, you know, this is something that we've been saying about the United fan base for the United dressing room for a long time. It is quite a self-serving dressing room. There are a lot of leaks. There is a lot of inconsistency. When things are going well, we can go on great runs. When things are going bad, things go bad very, very quickly. Look, I'm still of the opinion that we've never done what Ralph Rangnick said. Open heart surgery. For me, removing Harry Maguire and letting him go and saying thank you very much was an opportunity this summer to remove a player on a very high wage who's been a good servant to the club and say, thank you very much, off you go. Much the same as Pep does with people like Kyle Walker. Thank you very much, off you go. You know, there are numerous people we could do that with and we don't do it. We're still not doing it. So on the one hand, we're talking about recruitment and the same mistakes as the past, wandering into a transfer window that we've been preparing for 12 months and we don't seem to know what we're doing. And on the other hand, we're retaining players that I think, you know, if open heart surgery is required, that's not what you do. Sanska says, if we can't buy any of Tonali, Anderson or Tchouaméni, would you still buy three or two decent players and defer a marquee midfielder to next season? I'm not deferring anything, Sanska. Like I said, we've had 12 months to prepare for this summer transfer window, knowing that the midfield needed rebuilding, knowing that Casemiro was leaving. If we can't buy three decent midfielders this summer, then what are we doing? You know, there is no defer. There is no backup. 12 months they've been waiting for this. I'm waiting to see what the plan is. We're delusional for getting sucked in every summer. Club has no desire to win. Edison will be done first and Wilcox and co will be sitting there today hoping Borough lose. So Hackney will be cheaper and our last midfield signing. Oh my God. I mean, if Edison and Hackney are two of our three, fucking hell. Yeah. Which players, thank you very much to Salah for that. Goldfridge says, if we splash 80 million on Rodgers, it's fear of missing out, not necessary, which is the opposite of what a well-run club does. We already shoehorned Cunha into the team. Yeah, I mean, I agree. I don't see why you buy Morgan Rodgers when you've got Cunha playing out of position already. Did you know that the technical director of Atalanta is John Murta? We can also sign Edison on a free next year instead of paying 42 million, says Mean Mustard. And Patrick Lynch says, feels like we are doing a lot of monitoring and inquiring, delaying really, so we can use the World Cup as an excuse for not getting deals done quickly. Thank you, Patrick. Nice shirt today, says Cola Cherry. It's a hot day today, so I've gone for a T-shirt. D-Mag says, when are we going to call this ownership out? No new stadium, no best of the best, broken promises and inflated ticket prices. I don't know whether I'd call this ownership out, pal. I think they need to be applauded at the end of the day. How they've done such a shit job in the last 2 years when we could have had Qatar and people aren't protesting and moaning about it is incredible, really, how bad a job they've done and no one gives a shit. I don't want Belabor or Edison. I'd rather get done that one. Thank you very much. And not sure if you've said, Mark, see Maresca wants Enzo. Yeah, I'm going to do a video on That's Football, actually. It's going out in about half an hour. They said big signing before the World Cup. Is Edison it, says Marlo. Look, that's our story. That's my story from our source. And that's what we did last week. I was told that United will make a big signing before the World Cup. Define big signing. You know, I mean, I'm hoping it's Anderson. You know, I'm hoping, you know, it's Tonali. But, you know, United could class Edison as a big signing. Let's get real. They could. Out of pocket question, but who is your barber? Says Salah.
Well, I can't tell you that, can I? I can't tell you that.
I was going to tell you, but I can't tell you that. Right, okay, let's move on. Thank you, everybody who's tuning in this morning. We've done that about that. This was quite funny. James Rodriguez revealed that he nearly joined Man United in 2017. He said, nobody knows this, but I was going to go to United. George Mendes says, do you want to go to Bayern? And I say, Bayern, there's no place for me. Why would I go there when they've got Ribery and Robben? He tells me Ancelotti asked for me and Ancelotti calls me and says, look, I think I said I'm going to Man United. He says, please, Manchester, United is dead. You have to come here with me. So basically, James Rodriguez, whether we should have signed James Rodriguez or not is irrelevant. I think the story actually is Ancelotti got on the phone to him and said, don't go to United, they're dead. I mean, cheers, Ancelotti. I mean, the question is he right or is he wrong? Gene says he wasn't wrong. Mbeumo, on the most underrated player in the dressing room, Xerxes. The way he can link with other players, he's such a strong guy, really hard to take the ball off, good finishing, power shots, and really good with his feet. So I was impressed. Yeah, Brian. So, mate, what are you talking about? Like, where is he doing this? On the training ground? On FIFA? Like, yeah. I mean, underrated Xerxes. I don't know how that works. Surely you have to be on the pitch. Look, I think in relation to underrated, the cold harsh reality is that the most underrated player at Manchester United this season, we can all have them, but I think it's got to be Le Mans. Michael Carrick probably wouldn't have this job without him. I think a goalkeeper is a little bit like a referee at times. You know, if you're not talking about them, they're doing a good job. And obviously, a goalkeeper, the amount of one-on-one saves, the amount of goals he's saved in the last 2 months, by the way, I mean, I can think of six chances that should have been scored against us, and they just get brushed over. Even in the game last week against Forest, like, there's been multiple saves that Le Mans has made in the last 2 months that should have been goals. And we've become used to it. On top of that, the amount of corners that come in that he just grabs hold of, or the amount of crosses that come in that he'll either catch or punch away, he just does the basics really well, and then he makes big saves. We haven't had that since De Gea. Under Onana, we would have probably conceded anywhere between 10 and 20 points would be taken off what we've got. If Onana had been in goal this season, and I'm being generous saying 10, but somewhere between 10 and 20 points would be off our league total. And if you look at the league table, let me just have a quick look. So if you take 10 points off Manchester United right now, we are still just in fifth. But you take 15 points off Man United right now, and we're barely in Europe. So, look, I think I'm being generous saying 10. But, you know, it's, you know, I think Le Mans this season has been absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible. A bit of breaking news that Bruno Fernandes is Player of the Year. I haven't seen it anywhere, but I'm... Oh, no, I've got it now. Bruno Fernandes... There he is. Let's have a good look. Bruno Fernandes has been named as the Premier League Player of the Season. Is that the same as Players Player of the Year? I get confused about these. You're going to have to tell me in the chat. Like, when I was a kid, Players' Player of the Year was the big award. Is that Players' Player of the Year or is that Premier League Player of the Year? Because we've had Football Writers' Player of the Year, which was Bruno. We've now got Premier League Player of the Year. Is that the Players' Player of the Year? Because that's the one that PFA Players of the Year. Is that something different or is that the same? Because Players' Player is something different, not the same. I think he will. That's the one I want him to win. That's the one that when I was growing up, Ryan Giggs, Nemanja Vidic, Players' Player is the one that you want to get because it's voted for by the players. That's the one I'm waiting for on Bruno, and I think he will get that one at home. It's not been announced yet. We've had Football Writers, which is the journalists. We've had Premier League Player of the Year, which has just been announced now. And then PFA is the biggest one, as TikTok Short says. But I don't think that's come out yet. There's too many of them, isn't there? I think he will win PFA Player of the Year. But look, I said it in January. There's a vindication for those of us. I said in January that Bruno should win Player of the Year. It was a clip that was quite controversial, which I didn't think was going to be controversial because we weren't in the top. We weren't in a title race. But this, for me, is exactly why Bruno Fernandes should be winning Player of the Year, because it's the player who's had the biggest impact on his team. You know what? Talking about Le Mans there, underrated. But to be fair, hot take Player of the Year as well. You know, obviously, I don't think he can move Bruno, but I think he's done really, really well. I'm getting married today, Mark. Any speech tips? I'd need to know the crowd. Depends what the makeup of the crowd is. I mean, do they get banter or not? You know, it depends where you pitch it, really. I always like a bit of jokes. Mensah, Enzo moved. Maybe it helps us with Anderson, says Ross. Oh, no, I think Man City will get Edison and Anderson and Enzo. Yeah. Yeah. Do you think Wilcox gets sacked if Carrick does bad? No. Salah says to bring in three midfielders, but you have to get rid of Mbeumo and Ahmad. Would you do it? No. What? Why are Pratt's coming in here doing hypotheticals, right? We're not selling Ahmad and Mbeumo to buy three midfielders. And we're not only buying two midfielders, hypothetically. We need three fucking midfielders. 12 months they've been working on this midfield rebuild. We're not selling players to bring them in. We're not only getting two, we need three. We're buying fucking three. I want it to be like Chelsea and not buy players over 26. Edison is going to be 27, so basically we'll buy older players if they're cheap. Says it all, says Ross McRae, magician. Thank you very much. Okay, thank you for everyone for tuning in. Slow sports news in the chat. We've been live for an hour, and there's people coming in the chat saying Edison and Man United verbal agreement. I'm sure some of you wake up, come in late, and think you've got the breaking news. We are live at 8 o'clock tonight. Edison is not done. Tune into the show on time. Have a coffee. What's the plan for today? I'm just going to do a video on That's Football, a little bit about Chelsea and Man City's midfield and Liverpool. And then there's an 8 o'clock show tonight, but I get the feeling we might be doing a video before then, because Saturday, for some reason, does become quite a busy day in the transfer window. So I might see you before then. Bruno wants it. Now let's build our team with the right players to compete next season, says Ashish. We're so Bruno attached that it's hurting us and we can't move on or don't know how to move on. Thank you very much, Salah. Take care, everyone. Stay safe. Have a great day.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.